Everyone, it's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. God is good, very good, and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I thank the Lord for the plan he has in place for those that he loves. I believe he's going to do a mighty work just before he returns. I don't know how much you'll see of it, because the Lord is precise in what he does. There are many of you he wants to save, and he has a very short time to do it, because he has to return, and he has to return on time. Did you know that the Lord is on a tight schedule? A very tight schedule. The age of grace is not, it has an ending, and we're about at it. Now, with that in mind, pay attention to what the Lord is doing. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith, because God is good and his love is worth finding. He is a blessing. The Lord have taught me many things since the time I got saved in 1983. And I know that he's good. I've gotten in all the trouble the enemy would send my way, the Lord would always show me what to do. And as I did what he would show me to do, I always won. If I was hard-headed, I had unnecessary problems, just like anybody else. But the love of God always remained steadfast towards me. And I want my love to be just as steadfast toward him. And the way we love God is the way we love man, according to the books of 1 John. The way we love man is the way we love God. The way we love God is the way we love man. So be patient with it. Let's all be patient with each other. If somebody's caught up in a sin, you don't have to police them about it. Share with them Jesus so they can come out of it. I tell people all the time, if you struggle with something, get saved. Believe them. A lot of people don't want to come to God because sin is a divider. A lot of times people are embarrassed about their sin and they don't want to go around God because God is holy. They want to love God. They want to do what he say do sometimes. They have a somewhat of a desire, but they really just don't think they can do it. And they feel like they're stuck. And they hope God will have mercy on them. Well, let me put it this way. He did have mercy on you. He sent you a Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who is your Savior. But he's not just your Savior. He's also your lawyer. He's a high priest. He represents you in heaven. Even before you get saved, the Lord represents your case, and the Lord sends people your way to teach, to share with you the gospel. And then the Holy Spirit helps you interpret it, helps you understand and hear and interpret the word that was spoken to you, so that you can have faith in it, so that you can believe on him, so that you can be his child. And though that's the way it works. So when somebody tell you Jesus loves you, Jesus is Lord, Jesus died to save you, when you come to the point that you believe it, then what he already did applies to you. Yeah, but preacher, I struggle with this and I struggle with that, and I don't see myself changing. And I don't think I can change. And as old as I am, I don't expect to change. And sometimes I don't even want to change. But if you can trust him as your Savior, another thing happens. He don't just bring you into the kingdom of God like you are. His blood washes your sins away. And your sin nature is broken. And you have a brand new nature because you have a brand new spirit. Every believer has a brand new heart, a brand new spirit. A brand new heart, a brand new spirit. He wouldn't leave you in the world with a raggedy heart. Now you got the same mind and you got the same soul. The spirit and the heart is the same. It's referred to as the same thing in Scripture. The mind and the soul is the same thing. You can word it this way. And he breathed into Adam and he became a living mind. Or he became a living soul. Your soul, which is your mind, You have, once you renew it in God's word, you will get strong and not weak. Until you renew it in God's word, you'll be weak. And you'll feel not much different. But in your heart, you'll have the strength to walk away from sin, which you could not do before. Preacher, that don't make sense. Put it this way. God, he's one God. We serve one God. I'm going to say that again because sometimes people don't think so. We serve one God. God is one. If you look at me, you don't see three Thurstons. You see one man. But I happen to have a spirit, and I have a mind, and I have a body. I relate to this world with the mind. I relate to God with my spirit, and you see my body. You don't even see my mind or my spirit. But when you look in my eyes, you know that something's different. Because eyes is the window to the soul. And when a person is looking you in the eye, you can detect things that you can't explain. Because you have a spirit. And because you have a mind. Now, I had a man hide something and he lied. I didn't bother. I said, Your mouth lying, but your eyes telling the truth. And I went the right way you hid it. Why? Because your spirit can be detected through the eyes. God, whose image we're made in, he has a spirit. He has a soul. He has a body. Some scriptures talks about the mind of God. Some scriptures talk about the heart of God. And when we believe on Jesus Christ, we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And also, the Holy Spirit lives within us. Every Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in his spirit to help navigate him through this life. And everybody who will believe God, they can be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. But every believer has the Holy Spirit on the inside. John the Baptist was the greatest prophet of all, even greater than Elijah. But Jesus said himself that the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, we've been washed in the blood. John the Baptist died before he was washed in the blood, but he believed it was applied to him because Jesus preached in the grave and they heard and he believed and he saved. But we believe now. Jesus has already died. We believe on him. We get a brand new spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us to guide us in this life. A lot of times, so many of you say, something told me not to go down there this week. Or something told me to go apply for that job. Or something told me. And when you do it, it works. And when you don't, you wish you did it. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit. How will you know what to do without hearing information about it? How would you know about a coming danger and you have no clue? We're connected. His spirit lives within us to guide us in this life, to help us out. A lot of you women, you really want to get married, but you got a check in your spirit. Something ain't right. Don't marry that man. You have the feeling. You don't know why. You don't have any logic. Nobody said anything. There's nothing wrong you can detect, but you just know on the inside, if you marry him, it's going to be a problem. If you trust the Lord on this, you're going to miss out on some trouble you're going to really wish you didn't get yourself into. And if you ignore his voice, like so many do, you're going to say, something told me not to marry him. And it goes the other way, too. Sometimes the person that you disqualified, there's something on the inside about him, and you don't know what it is, but something good about him, and don't ignore it. If you ignore the Holy Spirit, you're going to wish you didn't. A lot of people brag about, I got the Holy Ghost, I spoke in tongues, but they ignore him, and the Lord can't tell them nothing, and they always say, something told me not to do it. Something told me to stay at home that day. Something told me to pray. They wouldn't even pray. When you follow that voice of the Holy Spirit, you cannot fail, because you will have done his wisdom, and God's not going to give you shabby wisdom. His wisdom is perfect. Just like every gift he gave is perfect. He gave Israel the best king. He gave us the best savior. He gave us his word, the same principles that he built this universe by. This is proven, folks. When you look at the creation of this universe, he did it by his word, the same word he gave you. Keep your trust in him and don't let nothing change your focus. Keep looking at unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and don't look at nobody else. As he used people, he said, my sheep know my voice, they hear my words, they follow me. Keep doing that. Thank God for everybody that'll preach his word, teach his word, live his word. But don't look at them. Look unto Jesus. You got to shift gears. You can't drive from Birmingham to Bellsman in first gear. You'll tell your car up. You got to shift gears. As a Christian, you can't just stay at the cross. Believe on Jesus. His blood washes your sins away. Now live the life and start dialoguing and talking to the Holy Spirit. I didn't just say talk to the Holy Spirit. Listen to him. A dialogue is when you talk and they're talking. In fact, you need to listen to him more than you need to be talking, unless you have a question. It's all right to praise God and worship God. Do it because it's good. It'll draw you close to him. He said, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Keep drawing near to the Lord. Hear what he got to say. Hear him out. Don't get up and leave in the middle of the conversation. How does the Lord talk? When you start understanding principles, life-changing principles, and nobody's talking to you, the Holy Spirit is enabling you to talk, to hear him talk. His voice will get louder as you put his word in your heart. That's how we renew our minds. You can't see my mind. When I got saved, my mind didn't change. When I got saved, my brain didn't change. My mind didn't change the way I thought. It slowly changed because I believed on Jesus Christ. And I had a new desire in my being, in my spirit man. Everything that was a temptation to me was a temptation after the day I got saved. But I didn't want that life anymore. And I would always say, Lord, help me not do that. Help me not think that way. Help me do it. I want to do things your way. If I did something wrong, I say, Lord, forgive me and help me get strong against that. And then when the Holy Spirit came, all of it was easy to do. I had power when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Until I was baptized, which was 6 months after I got saved, during those 6 months, everything that would go wrong, I would pray. And sometimes the Holy Spirit would be able to help me understand things. I couldn't sometimes put it in words. But as I grew, sometimes he talked to me plainly. He'd tell me what to minister. He'd tell me what he's doing. He'd tell me things he wants me to do. And then he'd bring to my attention things he wants me to know about. And I can truly say, he didn't let things sneak up on me. The things that concerned me, he'd always give me the heads up. Sometimes he just put it on my heart to go and pray. Sometimes to pray specifically for a certain person. If the enemy had a plan against me, he'd sometimes show it to me so I could pray and deal with it. Now, why not you? Well, you a preacher. He didn't do these things because I'm a preacher. He did it because I'm his child. Anybody can do the works of God. Anybody can pray for the sick. Anybody can teach the lost. The main difference is I have a specific work I got to do. And if he didn't call you to do a specific work, you can still operate as a king. Because Jesus made us priests and he made us kings. You can still pray for your people. You can still pray for your friends. You can still love people. You can still learn from the Lord. He wants to dialogue with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to draw near to him. If he drew near to you without you drawing near to him, his words wouldn't make sense to you. If you don't study his word and draw near to him, and he try to relate to you his word, it, without you trying to learn him, it would almost be useless, even if you're a Christian. But if you're trying to, I watch so many people. The only people that learn are the people who are trying to learn. When people are set in their ways with their opinions, they don't learn much. They get set in their ways and they preach their opinions. And then they die just as weak as the day they got saved. But those who are trying to learn, learn. And you, sometimes you just have to make yourself be neutral. It could be, I don't know. Sometimes I ask the Lord about something I think I know about, just to see what he'll say, to see where I'm at. And I'm often surprised at his replies, because he showed me so much more. And so what happens? My trust in him goes up, and my trust in me goes down. And then I ask him questions. When I think I know the answer, I ask him anyway, just to see what he's going to say. See if he adds to something, or make sure I'm on the right track. And I study his word so I can dialogue with him, so I can hear him. He relates to us by his word. If we don't receive the word, then it's hard to believe him when he says something, because the word of God gives you strength. Well, I used to pray. I used to read a lot. Keep doing it, because you used that word up a long time ago. Because if you live in this world absorbs the life out of you. It challenges you in every way possible. When you watch TV, you're being challenged all the time. So, but if you flood your heart with the word of God, there's something for the Holy Spirit to, you have so much strength, you don't even realize, you don't even see the distractions of this world as a threat. And they're really not. But when you have the word of God in your heart, you're strong and stable. When you utilize that word in this life, it does what it's supposed to do in your life. That's why when the lady with the issue of blood touched the hem of Jesus' garment, he felt virtue go out of him. I said, Lord, what's your definition of that word virtue? When I looked it up, it didn't make sense. But this is what the Lord said. He said virtue. What he was saying was, that word virtue meant the amount of word that was in Jesus' heart. And when that lady got healed, she pulled from it. And it left him and went into her, and she got healed. So, in other words, if you have any kind of disease, such as cancer, anything, fill up on the word of God and then pray the prayer of faith, and it will leave you. Fill up on the word of God, then pray the prayer of faith, and you will be healed. Because the word of God gives you strength. Preachers, if you preach your heart out every Sunday, go back and study what you preached and put that word back. The Lord taught me to do that so that I don't run dry. If you preach more than you study, you're going to run dry, and then you start getting in trouble. You get weak, and you wonder why you're having all these troubles and problems and thoughts. You done used all the word up out your heart. You got a brand new spirit, and then you got a challenge to the mind that you once renewed. And the word of God will freshly renew it again. Now, we're out of time, but the Lord is not. He will still talk to those and relate to those who want to know him. Always remember, God loves us, and he's there for us to help us and guide us in this life, help us navigate. If you're doing it by yourself, you're going to run out of strength. If you do it the way he guides you, you're going to have an extra abundance of strength all of your days. And you'll be able to make the most supreme choices and receive God's best. Now, until next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.